Okay. All right, here we go. So why did I call it tired? Well, see, I don't usually get it. I don't necessarily even get it right. I get an idea, and then we find out what happened. What was funny if I could use the title? I usually change it.
When you were working.
That was.
I was supposed to say I'm tired.
That was definitely true, but you'll see why in a second. Okay, so take a look. We're gonna learn. We introduce ourselves now. We love Yaakov. We love Avraham Avinu. We did that for a few weeks. So now we're gonna talk about Yaakov and Esav. And if you want to talk about Yaakov and Esav, you got to start from close to the beginning, not the exact beginning, but close to the beginning. So it came time now to give birth to these children, and they were twins. So the first one comes out, he's all red, all hairy, and we call his name Esav. And then his brother comes out. And then the brother is Yaakov, so he's holding on to his ankle, his heel, that's why it's called Yaakov. Fine. They get older. And what happens? Esav is a person who knows hunting, a man of the field. Yaakov is a simple person who sits in tents, all things that we've heard before. And what happens? Yitzchak loves Esav because he gives his hunt in his mouth. A lot of explanations of what does that mean. And Rivka loves Yaakov for no reason, right? Just because. Fine. But I want to talk more about this next part of the story. Vayazid Yaakov Nazir. Yaakov is making some type of soup. Vayavo Esav minasadevahu ayef. And Esav comes from the field and he is. Tired. He's tired. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov. And Esav says to Yaakov, Ha'aliteini na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh ki ayef anochi. Al-kein k'rashmo adom. So what does he request of, what does Esav request of Yaakov? Ha'aliteini na.
Feed me.
Yeah. Ha'aliteini does not mean give me. We'll talk about this more. It means, we'll see what Rashi says, but like
pour down my throat.
Look at Rashi for a second, all the way. See in source number two, the Rashi all the way at the bottom, Halitani Lamed. Eftach pi ushvoch harbila socha. Open my mouth and pour the soup into it. Right? Kemosh shaninu ein opsin es hagamal aval malitinoto. Right? You can't put a. There's a question about putting a muzzle on an animal, but you can pour water or food into its mouth. Right? So something you do to an animal. Right, you pour the
camels,
food.
That's where they fill up camels and they'll drink.
Pour the water. Yeah, I guess so. But the point is, that's how you feed someone. Okay? So that's one piece. Vayomer Yaakov. And Yaakov. So then Yaakov says to him, fine. Michra chayom es mechor. It's chel, fine. You want soup? Sell me the mechor. Esav says, Yomer Esav. And yeah, nochi olech lamus. I'm going to die. Valam is ali bechorah. So what do you need the bechorah for? Vayomer Yaakov. Yishav ali kayom. Yishav alo. Vayim koyas bechorah. So Yaakov. Fine. So he promises him. They make a deal. He tells him the Sukkim continue. Good. So he sold him the Bechorah and he gets his red soup poured down his throat. Okay?
How did he know to even ask for something like that? You know,
the Bechorah?
Yeah.
Great question. You have an answer?
And how do you know there was a birthright?
I don't know the birthright. Good.
I mean, I would think they would both know about.
My parents discuss what you're
going to
get.
Well, this Bechorah presumably is something more spiritual, right? And that's this whole story, right? and the bracha. This is not just money. This is, right? We talked a few years ago. The Ebenezer says they didn't have any money, that Yitzchak was poor. So this is not a money Yerusha question. This is like a spiritual Yerusha thing. Chazal go very far into this conversation that Esav saying to him, this conversation is about the avod and the Beis HaMikdash, right? Because the Bechor was supposed to do the avod, right? So he says, what, Ahine anuchi holech lamus, that basically Yaakov tells Esav, you know what the halachas are of being working the Beis HaMikdash? You can't be drunk when you go in, you have to get a haircut. Esav's like, Hine anuchi holech lamus, I'm going to die anyways, meaning I'm going to be chayv misa. I'm not going to follow those halachas anyways. V'lamali zeh bechorah. It's a medrash, right? How that they were, that's not a simple pshat of the story, clearly. But what is, I think, is simple pshat in the story is that they're dealing here in much more than just financials. Right? They know. You can tell by the way Esav responds after Yaakov steals the Bechora. Right? He cries and he screams and he, right? So there's a and the Bechora was not a, what Yaakov gets initially is not a physical bracha. Right? It's much more about the two nations are going to be and which one's going to be on top, etc. Who's going to rule the other. This is a much larger question, right? That they know they're dealing with something bigger. You find that throughout the conversation. Yosef and the brothers. They're not dealing with, like, who's going to... They're not dealing with little stuff. They're dealing with big stuff. And how do they know? Because their parents tell them that their grandfather, Avram, was given this promise. You're going to be a big... You're going to be the father of big nations, right? And I'm going to give you a bracha, you're going to have difficulty and come back to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to control all of Eretz Yisrael. They know there are spiritual, you know, national promises that were made to their grandparents. So they know a bit, they presume that's part of the Mesorah of their family. Right? So they know there's something big here. They know their parents are Nevi'im who talk to Hashem. Right? So these are not like regular conversations. I think it's an important preface to all these conversations, right? No one's having regular conversations. We can't really relate to this, right? But there's something much bigger going on here, right? Okay, fine. But still, and I think that we oftentimes feel this way when we read the story of Esav and how Esav is vilified by Chazal. We're going to see some of that in a second. Sometimes it feels like a little much, you know, a little much. Like, he's that bad a guy? Like, what do we see Esav do?
He beats his father. You say he learns with him.
He's not. It seems like a pretty. You know, again, he threatens to murder his brother. He threatens to murder his brother. You know that happens also, and he means like murder. So that, you know, that is one piece. You know, but I think what's important to notice that the language is specific. So when we, but fine, but the point is the following. So if that's true, right? Now take a look at and by the way, certainly the narrative parts, which are not language, which are not quotes from them, Hashem again is deciding exactly how to describe the two of them, right? And the things that are chosen as descriptions are very important, and they're there to be picked up upon because I don't need them necessarily. Yeah, okay. So let's take a look at Rashi now for a second. So Rashi says, "Instruction to the felon." By Dilu on Ne'arim by Yisab. We don't see every single part of this Rashi, but it's interesting. He writes, "Kolzman shayu katanim lahu nikarim b'maseihem." When they were little, what's when they got older? When the kids are little, right? So what happens? So they're cute. They're, you know, we don't really know what our kids are like until they start to become older. And then we start to notice these big differences, right? We don't know so much when you're littler. Kevin Shanasu Bene Shaloshis Reshana, they become 13. Zep Pirish Labati Midrash, Zep Pirish Lavodazar, right? They come teenagers, try to find out what they really want to do. And today we probably say even past teenagers. We start to really find out what they're going to be. Fine. Okay. Ish Sadeh, Rashi says, Kemashma'o, Adam Batel Vitsuda Bikashtot. Bikashto, Chayot V'ofo, right? What it means, a person who's Adam Batel, right? Rashi says, Ish Sadeh means he's not involving himself in, you know, spiritual things. He's waiting for game to come by so he can shoot animals. As opposed to Yaakov, was Ish Tam, Eno Bakiba Kalei, doesn't know that, those things. Ela Kolbo Kain, Came piv, kilibo came piv. Right, his heart and his heart are the same. His heart and his mouth are the same. Misha eno charif l'ramot karui tam. Right, so a simple person. Yoshev walim would sit on the base medrash shame ve'aver. Fine. But now let's take a look at v'hu ayef. Right, Rashi says he's tired. Why is the Torah telling me that he's tired? Right, and by the way, this is before Esav himself says ayef anochi. The Torah says he comes to the field and he's tired. He's ayef. What do you mean ayef? And says Rashi, biritzicha. Why is he tired? From?
Too much murder.
Murder. Right, so again, like, murder?
Yeah.
He's tired. I don't know if he's taking a run. Yeah. How do you know Esav is tired from murder? That sounds wild. That's such a huge jump. Right. Okay, so let's keep going. Kama detema ki ayfa nafshi lo hargim. So first of all, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says that I can be tired from murder. Right, that murdering makes people tired, okay, apparently.
Maybe, okay? I don't know. Maybe I just don't remember. Does he mean murdering like hunting, or he means people?
People. Ritzicha means people. Tzayid is hunting. Ritzicha is people. He's killing people, according to Rashi. Okay? So basically, I'm midrashim. Next one, Halitani. Okay, same, we saw this one already. Eftach pi ushfoch harbele socha. The language of Halitani is very specific. It doesn't mean give me to eat. It means pour it down my throat. Okay? Good. So take a look at the Sifsei Chachamim, source number 3. This is the second week in a row. I think we're doing the Sifsei Chachamim. I highlighted and underlined the tests in Ritzicha, in the Huhayef. So language there is Ritzicha, and the test there is like a hyperlink to, Sifsei Chachamim is a commentary, a super commentary, right? A commentary on Rashi.
Are you going to talk about the murder thing again?
We're going to get back to murder. We're going to get back to murder.
Make sure we weren't
we're going to get back to murder. We're going to get back to murder. Because we want to understand where murder is coming from. Yeah. Right? Murder, right. So, Sifsei Chachamim, why does it say, right, he's tired from murder? So, Sifsei Chachamim says, I'll tell you why. Diim lo kain v'hu ra'ev mi ba'ele. Just say he's hungry. Why is he saying he's tired? Meaning it's like, it means there's something much more intense that he was involved in. Okay, still, yeah, Rona.
No, I'm listening.
No, say.
Very open.
Say. No, it's good. I'm building the case, the problem. We're still building the problem. What's the problem? He could have been running a marathon. Ayef.
He could have been doing
a million things. Correct. Doesn't have to be murder.
I just always said he was out in the field hunting.
Hunting animals.
Exhausting.
Right. Good.
Right. Walking.
So why does Rashi say he murders people? Because I'm tired from murder. It seems a little much.
I always just feel like because of what happens to Asa, we have to justify how bad he was.
Okay.
So we work backwards from that. Like that's just one of those.
You could say that, but I think that's.
I feel like Ishmael also. We do that too.
Yes, correct.
We make them out to be awful.
So we do it to all of them. We do to all the bad guys. All right. The bad guys. We right.
Right.
So we're going to talk about right. some of the reasons why we do that.
Archetype them instead
good.
Of.
Good. Excellent. So, but what I want to argue no, as we move along, mm-hmm. it's not as wild as you think. Maybe give me two answers. One is that may not be as wild as you think, meaning not as crazy as we think. And two, maybe there's another reason to make it crazy. So we'll see. Two answers.
Is this like a regular thing? Like they just assume he murders on a regular basis or he committed a murder and he was...
No, dying. Murdering all the time.
There's no sense of a law or anything back then?
Law?
In
the Wild West of the Mesopotamia? No, the Chorna.
I feel like they had laws back then.
Not much.
Could have been like a...
Yeah, not much. I don't know. Yeah, police? I don't know.
Tested on all that.
Yeah. Anyways, let's keep going.
Okay, sorry.
The Ramban. Okay, so the other thing that we see is that after he says, give me some of that red stuff, Al-Kain Karashmo Edom. And that's why they called him the red guy. What a weird thing. Again, this is like parentheses.
The Torah's when he was born,
he also was red.
Yeah. Good. So I thought he was red already.
Right.
When he started. Good. And now, no, because he asks for the red stuff, that we call him the red guy. Okay, so take a look at the Ramban.
A lot of people have favorite colors anyway, you know.
Good.
But we don't call him again.
Don't you have a lot of pink sweaters? You love to.
Why?
You're the pink lady.
I guess.
There you go. Exactly. Okay, Karash Moedom, says Ramban, Ki la'agu alav, they made fun of him. Shemachar bechora nichbedes, bavur tavshil ma'at, because he was willing to give up the bechor, which is such a chash of a thing, for this nothingness. Ki sovei vizolel yoresh. Quotes a pasuk in Mishle. Because someone who is a glutton, right? It's yivaresh, actually. But in the pasuk ends, look at source number 5, I just write the whole pasuk. Ki sovei vizolel yivaresh ukraim tabish numa. Which means that a person who's a glutton, and there's a glutton, what's a glutton for wine? It's another thing, for drink, whatever it's called. A person who's like obsessed with food and drink and things like that. So what happens? At the end of the day, their clothing gets torn, meaning it doesn't get you anywhere, right? It's emptiness, right? Being ravenous for food and drink and physicality leaves you in the end feeling empty. So the point is that he was, what the Ramban is arguing is that when the Pasuk takes a pause there and says, by the way, after all this, like people called him Edom. He got a nickname. I'll can't crush more than who? People around, the Chevra. People around, they would call Esav Edom as a negative nickname. Why? Because it was like so pathetic that he was willing to give up his Bechorah for soup. Is that Midrash? The fact that they called him that is Midrash. Is the idea that he did that Midrash?
No,
it's not. No, that's black and white in the Pesukim. It's very crass sort of Esav. Right? Like, give me some of that soup and I'll sell you this, again, majestic spiritual thing, which is not made up, and which is not, it's not like the simple shot in the psukim is that they're having a conversation about money or about, by the way, even if it was, so then you get the soup for all the money.
Right.
Also dumb.
He probably wouldn't. Well,
if you don't believe there's anything really behind it, and you think like your parents are promising you this thing related to the future,
right.
If he already felt like he didn't really fit in and like this wasn't the model he saw for himself in the future.
Yeah, we got that one.
It's like that doesn't really
good. We got that.
He wouldn't have had a fit when he realized that he really lost it, then he wouldn't have cared.
Well, then he realized it was something real.
Okay, but so what does that make Esav? Good. So if you're reading, good. So if you're reading Psukim, then what is Esav? Describe Esav in this moment according to the text, not according to Medrash. What is he? Describe him for me.
Disgusting low life.
He's not a murderer.
He's not a murderer.
He's desperate.
Desperate? What else?
I could
say more negative things. You're being nice. Impulsive.
Right. Impulsive, yeah. Definitely.
Impulsive. Like, it doesn't have priority straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. He probably did. Probably.
The typical thing, Esav, is
Yeah.
Typical
the kid doesn't
ADHD,
fit. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Doesn't fit. Impulsive.
He's hunting. Still in
he's roaming around.
Has to be out on a,
physical. Right, needs to be involved in stuff.
I was like, as a person who gets hangry with too frequent regularity, I like kind of saw that too. Imagine you're out all day. You're doing all these things. You walk in the door and you are so starving you can't think.
And then what do you do when that happens?
I yell at everyone.
No, I don't.
Or you say,
give me
that. I'll give you something.
Yeah, right. Or it's like you just shovel the first thing you see.
Right. No, so then would you sell your legacy?
I would not
for food.
Sell my legacy, but yeah, I would
because
maybe
you're
make
a thoughtful person.
Poor food
okay, but
choices.
If you didn't care about it, you know the other person didn't care about it, and you just wanted some food.
Correct. Really? All I'm saying is,
right.
Correct. I'm not saying we can't have rachmanis on him. We're going to have rachmanis at the end. That's going to be the nice word, okay? But just at this stage, I'm just pointing out to you, I hope.
I think Rami's getting a lot of hate from us.
Really. No, this is exactly what I want. But I'm saying, what I want to show, and I think it's true, is that Chazal are not like piling it on Esav as badly as we think. That if you really look carefully in the text, there is a lot there that points to Esau's personality, right? And it's not made up, and everyone's picking up on it in much more nuanced ways than aren't as extreme, right? Rashi's murder thing is like, come on. The Ramban's, maybe they called him Edom because he was impulsive and was willing to flip his spiritual legacy for soup. That's what happens in the text. Right, that's not so. It's such a far impossibility that they did call him that, and maybe they did make fun of him or whatever. Maybe he was seen as that kind of like impulsive, you know, not thoughtful person, right? Who maybe makes some big mistakes because he's like that, right? Take a look at the Rashbam in source number 6. Min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. Right, yeah, again, what? Let's even back up before that. What does he call the soup?
Right.
What does he call it?
He won't even use a specific name for what it is.
He doesn't even call it a name.
Right.
He wasn't looking at it. He comes in, you know, he smells the house. He smells something cooking. He sees over there it's red. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't really care. He's hungry. So he just says that red stuff.
Yeah.
But it's but again, it's very impulsive and very like not thinking. Type of activity,
right?
He's not considering. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's not making decisions.
Right.
He's just doing what feels like he wants to do
in the moment.
In the moment, but that's just you hear like
need,
right.
Not long term.
You ever hear sometimes you hear
reality.
Right, yeah. Right. So sometimes I tell my kids. Sometimes you hear like athletes who do stupid things. Right, they say dumb things or they act out in a dumb way in the middle of a game, and they'll say something like, "That's just who I am." I always remind my children like. That is, don't ever, ever, ever say that to me.
So irritating.
That's just who I am. It's just who you are. Sorry, that's like life, is that we have certain natural inborn instincts and it is our job to break them and to control them and to channel them and to understand our natural tendencies and then to manage them. That's our job as human beings. It's just who I am is actually the opposite of what we're supposed to be. Right, so the image of Esav again, and the Chazal say the same thing. By the way, with the language of what, how he goes about the rest of his story. Oh, I didn't even bring it in here. The end of the story. It says Vayakam Vayelach Vayochav Vayesh Vayakam Vayelach. He eats and drinks and gets up.
But
the language is very. This is even you hear it in like the in the
impulsive.
Yeah, what do you call that?
There's
some other language there. Staccato nature of the,
also,
right? The musical thing, right, like that. There's a certain rhythm in how the Torah even speaks about it, right? Again, back into the narration, that the Ribono Shel Olam is not like, we always talk about the Torah, right? Hashem, right? When he tells us the story about Esav, is very specific with the language that's used about him, right? And it's meant to teach us something, to draw a picture for what he's supposed to look like. Good. Look at the Rashbam.
How could his father have been so blind to that his entire life, though?
But that's a different story. You're right.
We've talked about it.
That he wasn't blind to it. Some argue he wasn't blind to it. He wasn't blind to it. He knew he was, but he was patient with him, and he didn't want to throw him away. And so he continued to have a relationship with him. Maybe what Yitzchak did with Yaakov, with Esav, was actually very beautiful, according to many Mefarshim. Mm-hmm. He didn't just throw him away. Right? He wasn't really... Rabbi Belsky said, Ki tzayid b'fiv doesn't mean, right, that he loved Esav because he had his game in his mouth, which Chazal said he tricked him, he would feed him, so he listened to him. He says, no, Yitzchak could care less about having the barbecue from Esav. He didn't care about hunting, but he knew that Esav cared about it. So Ki tzayid b'fiv is that he would talk to him about these things because he knew that's what mattered to him, right? And that he was actually just a really good father. trying to hold him, you know, stay connected. And Rivka is the one who says, it's too far. But that's a very delicate parenting decision, right? Different conversation, which you always bring up, that they didn't talk about it, right? But maybe they should have. But the idea that Yitzchak holds on to him and actually, no pun intended, feeds into the things that he likes, right, is actually maybe excellent parenting. And they tell us beautiful, this very cute story that Rabbi Soloveitchik, they would daven mincha in Maimonides in the shul, and they would wait. Is this true? They would do that in Tulner, which is one of the shuls down like close by. But I don't know if it was there, wherever it was. And he went over to the one of the gabbaim, and he said to him, "Can you do me a favor? We have like a half hour till Marv. Can you teach him the rules of baseball?" I was like, "Sure, Rabbi Dr. Joseph P. Soloveitchik, I'll teach you the rules of baseball." He teaches him three outs, strikes, balls. And then he says to him, like, just out of curiosity, right? Like, why do you want to know this? He says, my grandkids are coming and they like baseball. So I want to make sure, right? But that's the, right? Like, that Yitzchak was interested, makes himself interested, he'd side with Fiv. That's what Esav liked. So that's why he, you know, would get into the things he got into. Fine. But anyways, I want to take you back to another textual piece. And if you want to talk about somebody who's going to talk about the text and what it's teaching us, the Rashbam, right, always takes us to literal meaning, right? And he writes the following, Min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, derech adam ha'memaher lish'ol davar mechavero, kofel es devarav. If I want something fast, what do? I say it multiple times, over and over again. It's a way to get someone to give me something quick. Quick. Give me that adom ha'adom hazeh, right? What he's saying is, give it to me fast. Again, it's all part of the same narrative, right? Al kein krashma adom, hu admoni v'nitave le'achol adom. He was already a red guy, right? He was a redhead. He probably had like freckles and whatever. He was red. He was a red complexion, right? Ubishul rav tanuto machar b'chorato, because of his
hunger.
More than hunger, it's like
his ravenousness.
Yeah. He sells the bechorah. Uleshem bizayon kara lo kein, and in order to again mock him or to embarrass him, he's called Edom. You should be sure machal Edom machar bechorato. So the Rashbam and the Ramban say the same idea, right? That this al kein krashma Edom. How can it be al kein krashma Edom? They should have called him that based on his complexion, but rather it was. Because that became his personality. It was something that he was doing, right? The way he acted, that he becomes called. That's the pasuk says, Al Kain Karashma Adom. Why Al Kain? Because of this action. The way he acted in this moment, and presumably in other ones, right? That's why he becomes called Adom.
But no one would have known if Yaakov didn't tell them. I was just thinking that. How did they find out?
Yeah.
What did Yaakov, who's like a kind, quiet person,
he's
went on and go get him?
Quiet. Yes, she goes back.
First of all, Rashbam says, it could be the Torah calls him Edom. The Rashbam says, L'shem b'zayon kara lo kein. You know, again, that's not true. I mean, the simple shot in the pasuk that it means that people call them that. Mm-hmm. Right? But again, just to be fair, how else could it have gotten out that he sold it to him?
I mean, I guess Esav could have told people I did the dumbest thing.
Yeah, but why would he have told? How do we know that Esav was upset about the...
Oh, he was crying out loud.
So after he loses the Bechora, he says out loud, Es Bechora Sila Kach. And now it's Birchasi, also my Baracha, right? He screams out loud. And that's when Yaakov, Yitzchak says, Gambar, oh. Yitzchak realized it wasn't a mistake. Hmm. Right? Esav screams when he's upset. Look what he did. He took my Bechora, and now he already took my Bechora, and now he took my Bracha. Yitzchak's like, oh, really? And he says, Gam Baruch Yeh. Right? Oh, okay. Actually, it's fine. But it's Esav who starts to talk about how Yaakov misled him out of the Bechora.
Sure changed.
Right. So maybe when Esav would tell the story, people said, Esav. And you can imagine it, right? Imagine the same personality. You'll never believe what happened to me. Da, 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 da. And everyone's like, that was pretty dumb of you, right? As opposed to Yaakov going around and telling the story. Possible.
Possible.
Good. Again, does it mean he's a murderer?
No.
Not yet. But does it mean that he's got certain tendencies? Certain impulsive tendencies?
Yeah.
Sure. Rough guy?
That.
Is that made up by Chazal?
No.
No, that's in the Torah. Right? Good. Kli Yakar, source number 7. Al-Kain Kras Shmo Edom. Mashalo Karo Edom Miyad Kishanolad Al Shem V'Yatzar Rishon Admoni. Wait a second. Just call him that right away. That's how he was born. The red guy. Lefi She'ein Zeh Chadash Tachas Hashem. That's not such a big Kiddush. Ki Kam Yeladim Noldim Yadumim. Lots of kids are born redheads. Lefi She'adayan Lo Nivla Damam. He tells us why. Because their blood has not yet been absorbed in their body. I don't know what that means. The Rebbe Nasan Lubasof Yishtaneh V'Yachzor L'Marehu. Some people, they're born like that, but then it goes back. I guess maybe it means like, you know, some kids are born with like blonde hair and blue eyes, and then it changes, whatever. Al-Kain Chashvu Molidav Shema Mar'eh Aduma Zeh B'mikre V'lo B'teva. So when he's first born, they're not going to call him Edom yet because he might change, right? Whenever babies are born with blue eyes, right? Any of our babies who are born with blue eyes. And I was like, oh, it's so nice. He has blue. I'm like, I don't know, you might change. Like, you never know, right? Some of them changed, some of them didn't. But Ach Kesha'amar Haliteini Na Min Adoma Adoma Zeh. Right, when he says those words, Kasha Lama Lo Karam Adashim. Bishmam said, give me some of those lentils. Ela Vadai Shagila Da'ato Shelo Haya Mit Aveh Elehem Mitzad Atzmo. Which comes clear that he doesn't want it because, doesn't desire it because of itself. Ki Im Mitzad Mar'ehem Aduma. He wants it because it's red. V'horeh Bazeh Ki Mezeg Tivo Note El Ha'admumis B'yoser. Right? You see that his personality was a person who was drawn towards the red, right? Mitzah tegboris maraha adumashabo, because of that strength of this, you know, redness within him. Al-Kain haya ohev kodavar miyachesim izgo. And he liked everything that fit his personality. And this is what the type of person that he was. And he would go to things, he was drawn to things that were natural to his inclinations. But again, a person who just kind of like goes with what works. This feels good. I'm going to go do it. Right? V'hu kol davar adom. That's every red thing. What other things are red? Well, keep reading. Al-Kain Kras Shmo Edom. And that's why they start calling me Adom. Why? Ki az noda be'emes shetivo aduma. Now it's clear, all the things that we saw about him and his outside are true about him on the inside. V'yoshev tachas mazal ma'adim. And he was actually born under the mazal of ma'adim. V'al shem heyoso gavra Ashed Dama, because he was a person who was interested in blood and things like that. Okay, so how do we know yet? Vizesha Amar ki ayef anochi, and that's why when it says ayef anochi, I'm tired. Perish Rashi ayef beritzicha. Right, Rashi jumps to murder. Why kamo ki ayfan afshi lo hargim, like the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Uma gid lahem Esav baze sho ayef beritzicha. How does he know that Esav's tired from murder? Elavade shenasan the dvar of tam. Lama kara adashim adom. Why is he called red? Lefishaya mita seik ba'otos man. Beklei umnuso beretzicha kevitivo. And he was, you know, a violent guy. Al kain bikesh yal itu min ha'amachal hana'ot lemazgo. Therefore, it like fit, again, everything about the type of person that he was. So that's how the Kli Yakar. Again, it's still like it takes a little bit of a jump to get to murder, right? But can you remember one other thing about Esav? What does he threaten to do to Yaakov?
To kill him.
But he didn't actually kill him. People say that in anger all the time.
No.
They do?
I don't know.
He doesn't, I'm gonna
his mom sends him away to Haran.
Right.
Does he think that
right.
he's like
that's true.
Super angry?
She thought it was a real risk.
But they also wanted him to find a shidduch.
Okay. What? That's what she tells his father. Because
right.
he lies to him. Mm-hmm. Why is she really sending him away? I'm just being honest. Yeah, just be honest. No, Psukim.
She's just worried.
Psukim him in the
she's
Torah.
20...
No. Why does she send him away? What's she nervous about?
That he had a grudge against him.
Right.
She's nervous he's going to kill him.
Right.
That's what she's nervous about. I'm just, I want to be a defender of Chazal.
It doesn't mean just because he did that once that he's a murderer all the time.
It doesn't mean he's a murderer. Why would you be more... Why would you be concerned?
It's not necessary to the story to accuse him of murder. Like, the story works out fine.
Why is it not? It's not necessary, but is it helpful? If you want to understand who he is?
If we understand who he is, then that makes Yitzchak look really poor.
That's what I was saying before. How does he not really? The kid's running around murdering. Nobody said something. Your kid's been out murdering.
Can I say something super weird and super bizarre? Murder.
I'm just saying
murder in those. Maybe I'm wrong. You get the sense when you read the Torah.
It wasn't a big deal to just.
Well, murder is bad.
Well, Cain.
You get the sense.
There was a
But like,
I
get the sense. No, you get the sense like it's not medieval times, it's before that, but like murder happened like a little more often than it does today. I don't know. I mean, it happens a lot today, by the way. What?
But
I don't know. I don't know if I'm right, but like you do get that sense.
Or to someone who doesn't represent any of the values.
Right, how would Yitzchak even give him
Abraham Avinu and right, it doesn't make any sense.
Let me just read another pasuk. After this all happened, now he's holding the grudge inside. He harbors hatred for him. Esav says
in his heart,
the days of my father's avelos are coming close. And I'm going to kill my brother. Right? Is that like, I'm so angry I could kill him.
Right. Yeah, because he's actually saying... No, but he's waiting for his father
no.
to die.
Yes. My father's gonna sit shiva soon. This is not. And by the way, he's not saying it loud. He's thinking this to himself.
This
and then by you, Godly Rivka,
like
as Rivka find out,
where he's the first person he sees.
But if he doesn't act,
how does Abraham just died? So the father was in his shiva mode. So
but I'm just saying. But by you, Godly Rivka, Rivka finds out as Divrei Esav Bena Gadol. She finds out how through Nevuah, which is. Also, simple pshat. Or he said it quietly and someone overheard him. But he wants to murder him. I have to send you away. Your brother's trying to wants to kill you. Listen to me. Get out of here. Right? Stay for a few days. Which can mean a little while. Until your brother calms down.
Okay, so it could be because she knows he's impulsive in his behavior. So
and what could
angry,
he do out of impulsivity?
Right.
Murder! Right. I'm just, all I'm saying, we're going to see another pshat in a second, but we only have a couple minutes left. All I'm saying is, I don't think that it's like, if you put all this together, and Rashi clearly did, and the Medrash did also, it is not so wild to imagine that Esav comes from the field all a mess because he got in a fight with somebody. They stole his camel, and in a fit of anger, he killed the guy. It's not so impossible.
And now he goes home and he's hungry.
He is hungry.
Yes, he's so
you hungry. Can't imagine. We can't imagine it because it's so far beyond anything we can ever imagine doing in our whole lives. And I'm not, but I'm just saying. All my point is that when sometimes Chazal say something and we're like, "Come on," right? And maybe that's because we don't put together the puzzle that Chazal have put together, which is based on the psukim, right? That make them say, that cause them to say certain things. That's all I'm saying.
Ronan's saying we're not as smart as Chazal.
No, none of us are as smart as Chazal, but fine. But that's just one piece. So maybe he's called a murderer because Hitaka
was a murderer.
Or at least it's not so crazy to imagine that that was one of the things that he would be involved in because he's a very impulsive person. He loves the physical stuff. And when he gets really angry, he's prepared enough to murder Yaakov that his mother is willing to send him away because she's fearful for his life. Not so crazy. Fine. That's like a lesson in Aleph. Why Chazal gave him such a hard time? Because maybe Taka has some hard stuff there for Esav. Fine. I want to show you one other idea. Source number 8. It's a Gemara Baba Basra. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chamesh Averos Avar Oso Rasha Ba'Oso Yom. Okay, even worse. 5 terrible things that Esav did that day. Baal Naramu Rasa. Okay, he had an affair with a woman who was engaged. Haragat Zanefesh. He killed somebody. Kafar Bikar. He denied the existence of Hashem. Kafar B'Tchias HaMesim. He denied the idea of Tchias HaMesim. Vishadis HaBechor. And then he got rid of the Bechor. Okay? And how do I know Kafar B'Ikar? How do I know he didn't believe in Hashem anymore? Ksif Hacha Lama Ze Li Bechora. What do I need it for? It. Ksif Hasam Ze Keli Van Veyu. Where does Ze Keli Van Veyu come from? Next source number 9. Right? In the Shira Sayam. What do we say? Ze Keli Van Veyu. That's Hashem. Okay? They point at Kriyas Yamsuf. We learn from there the idea of making Bitzvos beautiful. Fine. What? What is the connection between Kriyas Yamsuf, Zeh Keli Mevehu, and Lama Zeli Bechora? And what does it mean that Chazal, he did all these terrible things? Right? Again, you could use our first answer of, yeah, he was a pretty impulsive guy. He shows himself to do some pretty bad, you know, capable of pretty bad things. At least he's ready to do them and people are nervous about it. But what's the connection, Zeh and Zeh? So I'll show you an idea that I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, the Tana Rebbe. Tana Rebbe was the son-in-law of Rebbe Soloveitchik. When the Rav became older and he had Parkinson's and couldn't go out anymore, so he lived in the house of the Tana Rebbe. He lived there for many years, 6, 7, 8 years while he was like what he was.
Twersky.
Yeah, so he was both, Rebbe Twersky was both a Hasidish Rebbe from the Chernobyl dynasty and also the dean of the head of the Judaic Studies Department, I think, at Harvard. And he would give, you know, PhDs to people I think he may have given, this may not be true, Rish Akhtar maybe got his PhD from Dr. Twersky, I'm not sure. But he was a huge, you know, scholar and philosopher, whatever, and also a Hasidish Rebbe, fascinating person. So he said the following very interesting idea. What's the connection to Yamsuf? So what happens at Yamsuf? At Yamsuf, Am Yisrael comes in their 49th level of Tumah. They've been doing terrible things in Mitzrayim, according to Chazal. Right? And they get now, right, to the Yamsuf, and Hashem says, okay, time to, you know, split the Yamsuf. And what do the Malachim say? Hashem, like, why are you helping these people and not helping the Egyptians? Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, Valalu of the Avodah Zarah, right? They both did terrible things. Like, the Jews have also been involved in terrible Averas, right? And yet, we know that the Kriyas Yamsuf takes place, right? And then, not just that, it's like the greatest moment of prophecy ever. The Chazal say, Rosh Shifchal Hayam, maidservant at the Yamsuf, saw what Yecheskel didn't see in Nevuah, right? An amazing Nevuos at that moment. And like, what is happening at that moment, right? And what do they say? Zeh Keli Van Veyu. They were able to point with a finger and say, that's Hashem. No person can do that. Point to Hashem. Right? They had this amazing, amazing Nevuah. So it's an amazing turnaround. Right? People who were so, so far away, who had done such terrible things, who now all of a sudden are on this extraordinarily high level. So said the Rebbe, this comparison, the Gemara, is comparing the two stories. What does Esav say? Also, Am Yisrael feel very distant from Hashem at that moment. They're feeling very far. Right? There's other Mamay Chazal about, like, Vorts, about if they come to the Yamsuf and, you know, what do they look like spiritually, etc. They look bad. They look bad. They're involved in bad stuff. And yet, they find themselves in a place where they're able to rise up. Right? They can be better than they were before. And to the point where they can say, Zeh Keli Van Veyu, they can point to Hashem. They can see Hashem. So Esav, too, finds himself in this very, very low place. Right? And maybe, he says, Chazal pile on all the bad things. Because Esav is not supposed to just represent Esav, the person, but all people who find themselves very, very far away. Right? And what does Esav say? Hinei anochi holeich lamus, I'm done for, something interested in me. Lama zeh li bechora. I can't get to that place of zeh. Okay, so he wasn't thinking about that point, right? But what's the connection that the Torah is making, again, in the conversation is this. That Esau is basically saying, like, I'm forgotten. I'm forfallen. I'm done. There's no place for me anymore. And so where does he go? He goes off the rails. He walks away because he feels he's been rejected, right? And the lesson, in a certain sense, that the Chazal are trying to teach in the Gemara is, no. Like, that the mistake that Esav made was not that he did more averos. The mistake Esav made was to believe that he was too bad that he could never be, that he could never come back. Right? That belief that he was so finished, which, by the way, his father didn't want him to believe. His father continues to try to bring him back and back and back. And by the end, he believes that he's totally finished. And
he
maybe
must
that's
not.
What?
He must not, because then he gets angry with his brother. He must, at some point, realize that, you know what, maybe I'm not totally
finished.
Right,
if he didn't
finished.
Believe and he didn't care, then why would he
mended
care?
Mended my ways and changed things.
But
right?
At the moment
he really
when he sells
that,
the Bechorah,
right,
the moment that he sells, right. Yeah. So the moment he sells the Bechorah, he does walk away from it, right?
Yeah.
And then it's a fair question. So then what happens later? Right. Like when he decides, now he feels bad about it, etc.
Yeah.
But at that point, maybe it was too late for him. But I don't know. But the Rebbe's point, and this is the point that I wanted to bring out, is that the argument for why they make him look, he doesn't say this explicitly, but I think this is, it helps me. Like another answer to why they make him look so bad is to show that it doesn't matter how far you go, right? You could go very, very far. You've done every bad thing there is, right? The zeh is still possible. So Esav rejects it. He says, no, I can't. It's not for me. I really am rejected and I'm done. And he says, I can't be brought back, right? But the lesson is, ayef anochi, like I'm done already, right? And the lesson that Talmud Rebbe wants to argue that is being taught is that he wasn't actually too far away, right? But that he gave up on his ability to be that person. That was the thing that his real lack of emunah, right? As the Bar Dichver likes to say, is your lack of emunah in yourself, right? The ability to come back. So it's a fair question. So then, at what point did Yaakov and, you know, do Yitzchak and Rivka get to decide, okay, but like it's too many chance, like I can't hand this over to you because you've decided that you're not part of this. And by the way, did Rivka say once he sold it? Was that one of the reasons that she said, look, he sold it already. He walked away. Kal kein krash mo adon. Right? He's like decided that he doesn't want it anymore. So now I can't, no, I still believe in you. She's like, I can't, that far I can't go anymore. I don't know. That's an interesting parental and national question. What do we, you know, we don't give up on anybody ever again. But to make you the head, maybe that's too dangerous. And maybe Yitzchak says, no, I'll still make him the head. And Rivka says, I can't. I'm not going to do that. And clearly Hashem thought he couldn't anymore. But I think it's two very different explanations. One is that Chazal pile on him because you can actually see it in the text, right? And the other answer is that, no, Chazal pile on him because they want to show us that even with all of that, there still was a chance. Right, that he's still gonna come back. He's still gonna come back. But he decides in the end he doesn't want to. He feels bad about that later. But maybe at that point he had already made his decision to walk away. But either way, he's a sad character, Esav. And I think rather than making him out into like evil, if we make Esav out into sad, you know, I think that is probably more how I view him, right, than like some horrible, awful person. And it's like a sad story. Because Esav is like the tzaddik who wasn't, or tzaddik who could have been, who decides and then in the end he just not going to do it. And don't get me wrong, gets rejected because of that also. And that's hard too.
But we don't see any of that decision making or thinking. We just see his behavior. So we said he's impulsive and he acts. We don't see that he tried or thought that maybe he could, you know, reach the state he needs to.
It's true. We don't see it.
We don't see any
We
of
do
that.
See him we rejected just, though.
Yeah.
We do see him rejected in
just
the Torah.
Like that. Right. In the Torah.
He's
right.
And it's very, and the more, but the more we
but
read it, the more
flippant,
we see it. Yeah.
It's a flippant rejection.
I feel like we need a part two. Didn't he also
too much stuff?
It's so much, right? It's so rich and so deep that there's so much there to talk about. And we'll
do one.